Good morning, church. I'm very happy to be here this morning. And we usually say compliments of the season, which means we wish you well this Christmas season. So when we say compliments of the season, you reply, I wish you the same. Yeah. So compliments of the season. I have already started with having some good news. I mean, because when I was in the vestry, I was thinking that speaking to Alan, he told me that you don't have a lot of young people in the congregation and so on. But while I was in the vestry, I had some children singing. And then when I came in, I found out that, it was young people at heart. So there are young people here then. Then that means that my preparations for today, which include a DVD, provided my colleague get it going, we may have it, otherwise we'll go the old-fashioned way. We're going to conduct the service to praise and glorify God. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and we'll act in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We will listen to our episode.
Chapter 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Now stand as we are able and sing our opening hymn, which is It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Thank you. not have a time of prayer, a time in which we'll adore God, say thank you to God, and get our reconciliations with God. Let us pray. Mighty God, we're here to worship you, not because of the perfection of our plans, not because of our wisdom, not because of our strength, but because of your mercy. You have brought us here this morning. In spite of any challenges we may have in our lives, in spite of any aches and pains, in spite of the journey traveling in, you have brought us here, mighty God, our Heavenly Father, to give praise and thanks to you. And we declare that you are worthy, and only you is worthy to be praised. King of kings and Lord of lords, we just thank you for the goodness that you've given to us in our lives all this while. As we draw close to the end of the year, O God, we might be reflecting on the good things, on the friends we have lost, on the things we have hoped for and received, or even the things we had hoped for and did not receive. We thank you, O God, that our relationship with you goes on, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring ourselves back to you. When you look at us, O God, our Heavenly Father, you will know that we are not always righteous. So many times we have done the things we should not have done. And on occasions, we have not done the things that we should have done. So when you look at us, you will see that we have some little unhappiness about things that we are not proud of. We bring our confessions to you this morning, O God. As we pray to you in silence in our hearts, telling you of anything that we are not proud of. We pray to you now in our hearts, O God. Our gospel says that God is making all things new, that Christ is merciful. This is his gracious words. Our sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. The collect for the day. All-powerful God, let the splendor of your glory rise in our hearts like the dawn, that the darkness of the night may be scattered, and the coming of your only Son may reveal us as children of the light. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We shall now sing again, and I invite you to stand as you're able, and let us sing the hymn 213, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thank you.
morning, everyone. This reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste." Thanks be to God.
Again, I invite us to stand and sing the hymn number 176, "Like a Candle Flame."
Now listen to the next reading.
So the gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for that reading, Steve. The delivery man was confused in the first place. He was very confused. Now, so if you go into the hospital and the doctor has to look after you, and then the doctors come and they begin to get confused and they misplace your files and so on, they know where they're going, please don't be surprised. The delivery man was confused. And then what happened? What has happened at that same scene? He saw her name, he knew who it was meant for, and then he was still confused. Now, I was going to say don't trust educated people, but please have mercy upon them. You know, but don't know enough. Still confused. Something has happened in that scene. He saw her in the room. You mean the delivery man was watching? He saw her in the room. So he knew Mary was there. Beautiful. And then what happens? Now you're going to be singing soon if you don't tell me. Something has happened. There was somebody else in the scene. The Roman soldiers were in the scene. So it's like God has delivered the blessing. God has sent the parcel. The parcel is coming your way. The angel, imagine it was an angel bringing the parcel. The angel knows your name, knows your address, can see you. And yet there were obstacles in the way. Chapter 1 of the examination. We move on. Mary was on the bus. How many people were in the bus? How many people were in the bus? Three people? One, two, or three? Make up your minds. The driver was in the bus. Did you see the driver? Exactly. So how did you know the driver was in the bus? Oh, we have driverless cars now. You need somebody to turn the car on. Oh, I see. Okay. I thought you have an app that will start the bus and just run the bus and get it to. No, all right. Okay. All right. Yes. Yes. Okay. So there was a bus. We assumed there was a driver. And who else? Who else was in the bus? Mary? And the baby was in the bus. Whoa! Did you hear that? Mary was in the bus and the baby was in the bus because she was looking at a magazine, thinking about babies. You know, as we men do. Do we do that, men? We men? Where are we? Where is us? I don't want to point fingers that will come back and bite me, you see. Looking for names, looking for baby names, looking for everything, looking in the book. But it was going on fine. I saw something else in that bus, or I saw some other existence in that bus. Can you, in your imagination, as Christians, tell me who else was in that bus? Oh my goodness. I think Howard does not want you to sing. She's told me the answer. The Holy Spirit was there. The invisible power of God was walking with her. So in certain situations, you will see only yourself. You will see only what you are going about. You see only, oh, I'm on this journey. Remember footsteps on the sand? Footsteps on the sand where this person is walking along with his father or her father or mother and expect that there's somebody walking along, and then all of a sudden there was nobody there. And then he says, oh, well, what happened? He got to the end and said, oh, well, where were you?
Why did you leave me on the journey? In fact, he was driving the bus. He was moving you. He was taking you along. He was carrying you. That's how God carries us. When we think we're in a situation where we're alone, we don't even know what we're doing. But it was going all right. The bus got to his destination. And then, the next thing, Joseph got into the van. Now, Mr. Joseph the carpenter appeared. And what happens? Now, tell me what happens when Joseph got in the van. How was it? Was it smooth sailing? Okay. Was it smooth riding or was it smooth flying? Because vans do fly in this movie. Don't forget. Was it smooth when Joseph got into the scene? Was it smooth? Yeah, what happened? He veers all over the place. In fact, the man, it seems as if he does not know how to drive. So the Holy Spirit is a better driver than Joseph. Or the Holy Spirit is a better driver than us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of God is a better driver than us. Even if you think you're alone in this situation, you will get to your destination, all right? And then what else happened in the bus? So Joseph was veering all over the place. And then what else happened? The ignition didn't work. The air conditioning, there you go. The man came with a bundle of challenges. The air conditioning didn't work. Anything more? Traffic? Any more? Roman checkpoints? Roman checkpoints, he has to drive through an inner city. Did you see all the graffiti in the walls? Can you imagine the children who done it out of arts or delinquency? We live with that in our world today. Well, it is just like when human beings step in to the plan of God. Because I want you to remember this. Joseph had plans. Joseph and Mary, they had plans, didn't they? They were going to get married. Looking forward to it. Looking at the bridal dresses. Getting the provisions for the party. Looking at venues. Looking at which church or not church. They were planning something. And what happened to their plan? What happened to their plan? God stepped in. God stepped in. Hallelujah. That's how we will be having our own plans and planning this and planning that and planning that and then God said, God stepped in. He has his own plan. He has his own plan for the same you. They went on. There's no garage, no room in the inn, and they ended up in the garage maternity ward. The baby was delivered. Now the third question. What happens to those who were shepherds? What happened to the shepherds? The shepherds. Exactly so. Lots of angels appeared. So something unique about the shepherds was they saw angels. They believed what they were told. And then they went again and saw the baby. You see, that is faith. We have seen a lot of things in life. We've seen a lot of testimonies in life. We've seen a lot of examples in life. We've already seen it. It then becomes down to us to believe it so that we'll see more. But what happens in life? The first ones that happen, what is written in the Bible, the stories that we are told, the narrations, even the testimonies that people give, the first thing that we do is we disbelieve it in the first place. So when we disbelieve it, we cannot then go on and see more. But after disbelieving it, we stand up and begin to blame God. How can you blame God when you have not believed the original declaration, the original revelation, the original word of God? You've not taken it in the first place. How will you see more? Okay. So the shepherds saw, they believed, and the see more. The wise people, they were looking for it, waiting on God. They saw. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They saw, and they went and witnessed. Happy Christmas. And then danger came, and the baby leave for Egypt. What is Egypt? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What does Egypt mean in our theology? What? The land of slavery. That's good. What does that mean? The land of slavery was where Mary and Joseph decided to run away to escape the Romans. You want to tell me that slavery is an escape? Well, you see, I often ask myself, what does God have that caused him to love the slaves? Why did he meet Abraham and say, look, here's this land, but wait, I'm going to take your people to slavery first, and then when they come back, they will sober up. Why slavery? Why enslavement? God is trying to teach us the alternative. God is trying to teach us how difficult it is. So before you get to the promised land, God will send you to a training school so that you learn your lessons. That could be enslavement. That could be challenges. That could be going to college, going to university, staying under draconian measures. That is where we develop. That is where we learn. In fact, they meant it for bad. But that is where you will grow and have the goodness with which you will launch on to the promised land. And after Egypt, the rest, as I say, is history. Not history, history. Come on in. Welcome, guys. Not history, history. Come on. What we do is we are Methodists. You see, we give people who come in the service precious places. Please feel welcome and sit down. Lovely. Nice to see you. Welcome. Look at your smile. I remember when I was slim like you. Never mind. Praise the Lord. So slavery is not that bad. It trains you, it develops you, then you launch into the promised land. And then when you walk into the promised land, what we saw as history, in the case of Jesus, is not history. We now have the opportunity to learn from that and live it. The reading from Romans says that Paul is going out to all believers, telling them about the word. Yet, the devil or the opposition is trying to stop the message from going out. The gospel we read says that Joseph, right, had his plan. That plan was set aside by God. So when we pray, let us make sure that by faith we pray to God and surrender our plans to him, and he will take us to the destination that he, who is our creator, he who is the church, he who is the church, he who is our leader, he who is our shepherd, he who by his mercy has given us life and will keep us until we're reunited with him. He will take control, and praise and glory be unto God this Advent time and always from our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the interesting part is I have to sing. So, I will make some variations, but as long as I sing. When Herod heard that this baby has been born, he was furious. It's just like when the devil heard that salvation has come. The devil wants to stop it. So he sent soldiers to eliminate all the children. But he forgot about Egypt. God hid his child where Herod would not touch. So that's how God will hide us, where the enemy cannot touch us.
Yes?
The song. Luli, lula, lule, lula, bye bye, luli, lule, luli, lula, thou little tiny child, bye bye, luli, lule. Oh, sister, too, how may we do for to preserve this day? This poor youngling for whom we sing. Bye bye, Lule, Lule. Herod the king, in his region, charged he hath this day his men of might in his own sight, all young children to slay. That woe is me, poor child, for thee, and ever mourn on me, for thy parting never sin, no sin. Bye bye, Lule, Lule, Luli, Lula, Lule, Lule, bye bye, Luli. Lule, Luli, Lula, thou little tiny child, bye bye, Luli, Lule, bye bye, Luli, Lule, bye bye. Luli, Luli.
Let us stand as we're able and sing the hymn 178.
Thank you.
like to invite any testimonies, any thanksgiving, or we'll have a moment of quiet reflection. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no desires are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just as we are without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for us, and thou bidst us come to thee, O Lamb of God, we have come. We come in the name of Jesus Christ, the God, to pray for our world. We thank you for nations across the world. We thank you for political systems. We thank you for the United Nations. We thank you for countries around the world where factions are disagreeing against each other, where tribes are fighting against tribes, where religions are being polarized, one standing against the other, and people bringing out people in the name of what they think is right. Thou, Creator of humanity, we pray that you take control. Mighty God, go into the hearts of individuals. Let them receive your kingdom. Let them see your kingdom. Imposed upon the kingdoms of the earth. And let them have the peace that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ bring at Advent. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, we pray for respective countries and political regimes, especially our country, the United Kingdom. We pray for our union of nations. We pray for our head of state. We pray for our newly re-elected prime minister, or elected for the first time. We pray for members of the opposition. We pray for the parts that politicians we play all around the country. We pray, O God, that you tell those politicians that you are in charge. We pray that you help them to serve humankind. We pray that you help them to set aside selfish motives. We pray, dear God, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in our country, in our land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Mighty God, we pray for our church, churches around the world, churches in this country, churches in our circuit, and for this church, the Knob Hill Methodist Church. Mighty God, each and every one here is created in your image. You know our going out and our coming in. You know our needs, our anxieties, our wants, our concerns. We present them to you, to whom all things are possible. We say your will be done. We thank you for the peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, who said to us, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious for anything. So we now give a thanksgiving to you, God, for the prayers of our hearts, which we now bring to you in silence. The reasons that we have in our hearts today for coming to church, and we say we'll pray. Mighty God, we pray those things to you now in our hearts, believing that you know them already. We pray in silence for our ones, for our neighbors, for our family, for our health, for our jobs, for our church. For our community, for our families, for our finances, for all the concerns of our lives. Almighty God, who knows all our desires before we ask of them, grant us the desires that we have brought to you, And for what, in our ignorance, we dare not know, or we're not wise enough to ask for, please grant them according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I now invite you to let us stand and sing our closing hymn. And after the closing hymn, we shall bless the offertory. Have you collected it? During the singing of the closing hymn, we shall lift up the offertory and bless the offertory at the end, before we say the grace. The hymn is 214, Once in Royal David's City. Mighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for this time of reflection. We thank you for this time of reconnecting with you. We thank you for this time of recharging our batteries. We surrender ourselves to you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is our Creator. We pray that you go out with us, O God, our Heavenly Father, to live with our fellow humankind as though we are living with you. And not to be afraid, O God, our Heavenly Father, of any situation out there, because you are able to to deliver us in whatever our context. Mighty God, of all the good things that you have given us, we are grateful that we can bring back some, especially our financial resource, to this church so that they will be used for your work in this church and for your work in this community. We pray that you bless this use, O God. As we bring this money, we also bring ourselves back to you, God, the Heavenly Father. We rededicate ourselves to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and say that your will be done in us. And we pray that you will help us to see you rather than the problems or the challenges of our community or of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we surrender to you. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. I pray that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I pray that the Lord will be with you and be kind to you now and always. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us share the grace with one another. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship.